These are Jesus' words, repeated a couple of times in the Bible. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, if we take a look at this, who do you think is the most exalted person of all the human beings who have ever lived? The most exalted person. It's Jesus Christ, is it not? Then who among all the people who have ever lived has humbled himself the most? And this is what we read here in the book of Philippians chapter 2. And he says in verse 3, "Do nothing by selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another." Humility of mind. I want you to get that, and we'll talk more about that in a little. "Regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own interests," and so on. And then he says, verse 5, "Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ." Verse 6, "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, clung to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant." You're at the level of God. I mean, is there anything more exalted than that? And then you empty yourself, you humble yourself, you lower yourself, you come down to the form of a bond servant, because he became not just any Jew. He could have come, you know, you have your choice. You come into the world, you come into the world what? You come into the world at a time when Israel was under, or Judah was under captivity, was enslaved by the Roman government. He came as a bondservant. He came as a slave or a subject of the Roman Empire, a captive subject. "And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." Now, after humbling himself and emptying himself of all this, he comes down, "and being found in the appearance of men, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross," the most humiliating, the most degrading of all deaths. So, what did he receive? So, for this reason, verse 9, "God also highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So he has been exalted. So no matter how lofty you have ever been, you have never been as lofty as Jesus Christ. You've never been. Nobody has ever come down that far. And when he was on earth, you know what he did? He was here, he dined with those who were often despised. He dined with publicans. You read that in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, beginning in verse 9. "And Jesus went out from there," this is Matthew 9, verse 9, "he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he got up and followed him. Then it happened," verse 10, Matthew 9, verse 10, "that as Jesus was reclining at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners," irreligious people, they weren't that religious, "came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples." Tax collectors, called, the King James says publicans, you know, publicans and tax collectors. "And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why is your teacher," your master, that is a teacher, "eating with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus heard it. He said, "You know, those who are healthy don't need a physician, but those who are sick do." So Jesus humbled himself. And what did he say about himself? He said, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Philippians said, have this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus. Have this mind. The word mind here means attitude, outlook. Jesus, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Listen to that phrase, humble in heart. What's the heart of man? Out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. Well, it's not here, it's not your this. Out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Out of the heart of man, that's your mind. I am humble in heart. It's how you think, humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the word humble, our English word, humble, as opposed to the Greek word, comes from the dictionary. It's from an old French and thing called humble. It came into Latin as humilis. It means lowly. Lowly. It literally meant on the ground. A person humbled himself who dropped to the ground in front of someone. And it comes from the word humus, which means earth. Earth. Lowly, down in the dirt. You're very lowly. Okay? As opposed to high and mighty, right? What do we say about somebody? Oh, he's so high and mighty. Well, that'll bring him down to earth. Remember we talk about somebody coming down to earth? You know, God, come on down to earth with us. And in Romans chapter 12, we read this. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone, this is Romans 12 and verse 3, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Okay? So humility has to do with thinking. Humility has to do with thinking. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. We have to think. It's how we think whether or not we're humble. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, well, just verse 1, he says this, now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I who am meek when face to face with you. That's the way the New American Standard translates it. But the Greek word is the same word that is used of humble. What Jesus used, he said, I'm humble. The Greek word was tapenos, T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S, tapenos. It means lowly, down low. People who are low. And I don't mean low down. You know, we use the phrase low down. They're pretty low down people. We mean they're bad, they're low down. But these are lowly. These are people who don't have much. They're not much. They're not exalted in any way. They haven't accomplished a great deal. You know, we call them lowly. Now, Jesus is not saying be lowly, but he is saying humble yourself. Now, again, notice the phrase, humble yourself. He humbles himself. He said, he that humbles himself will be exalted. That means you could be humbled and brought low by many things, right? You could be brought low by circumstances. You could be brought low by other people capturing you, beating you, knocking you down, right? That's not the same as being as humbling yourself. When you humble yourself, you have done it. You have reduced yourself. You have said in your, and it's not reduced, you don't have to rip off your clothes. Okay, I'll dress in these, you know, in dirty clothes so I can be humbled myself. That's not the thing. It's humbleness of mind, not to think of yourself. And notice this phrase in Romans 12 and verse 16. I'm going to come back in a second to 2 Corinthians 10, 1. Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Romans 12, verse 16. Do not be haughty in mind. Don't be haughty in mind. You have to have humility of mind. Jesus said, I am gentle and humble, tapenos, in heart. I'm humble in my heart. That is, how is it that you think about other people? How is it? See, you know, a person could be very lowly in physical circumstances and in economic circumstances and every other kind of circumstance, you know, cultural and others. But they can think of themselves as hateful to others. I hate these people. They're no good. They're worse than I am. And they can have that attitude. They're not humble in their mind. They're not humble at all. Humility is how you think about you in relationship to God and to other people. Humility is you reducing you in relationship to other people. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And then he says, I who am meek, the Greek word is tapenos, I who am lowly when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I... This is a sarcastic statement. See, he's making a very sarcastic statement. I who am lowly when I'm face to face. Oh, they are. You know, Paul, when he's here, he's not so tough. He's not so bold. Well, when he gets away from me, he writes these powerful letters. But I who... But bold toward you when I'm absent. So he knows how they thought of him, you know. But he was lowly because Paul, when he was there, he was a servant of people. He tried to be a servant of people. Romans chapter 12, we just said, be of the same mind. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly, the tapenos. Associate with them. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Oh, I'm so great. I'm so wonderful. You know, don't be wise in your own estimation. So here it is. In Philippians, we just read that, chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Tapenos of mind. In your head, the way you look at things, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's humility. Regarding others as more important. Now, Jesus illustrated this principle, you know, when he talked about the person, you know, goes to a wedding feast, you know. He noticed when people went to this wedding feast, they all picked out the best seats for themselves, the most exalted places. He just had this. This is in Luke chapter 14, dropping down beginning in verse 7. So he told his disciples, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, don't take the place of honor, for the person more distinguished than you may have been invited. So if the host who invited you will come up to you and say, sir, give this man your seat. You know, he's got a more distinguished, because you took a seat that was so high, you know, so great. And then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place. So that when your host comes in, he will say to you, friend, move up here, better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. And then Jesus said, Luke 14, verse 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. If you exalt yourself, you will be tapenos. You will be made into this humble. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, Micah had this wonderful statement in Micah 6 and verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Eternal require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to love mercy or kindness, and to walk humbly. Walk humbly with your God. Walk You're lower. You look to God as God is exalted. And what are we? We're not exalted. Not now. So in Matthew 18, verse 4, what did Jesus say? Whoever then humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humbles himself. Notice that phrase. Circumstances can humble you. Other people can humble you. Sickness, other things can humble you, but you have to humble yourself. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Now in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus said this, I praise you, O Father. You know, because, you know, he's explaining things. I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. Now, the wise and intelligent were wise and intelligent in their own heads, okay? They were thinking they were so wise. They were thinking they were so intelligent. And he says, and you have revealed them to infants. To infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. So God looks to and directs his attention and directs his truth to the people who what? Reduce themselves. What's an infant? What's a little kid? Jesus will often call them. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, there is such a thing as a false humility. There's a false humility. Paul warned against this self-sought, what he calls voluntary humility, or it's a self-sought. I want to seek this myself by a voluntary humility, which is an outward thing. They did it through an outward thing. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, here's what Paul wrote. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. The Greek is tapenos, the humility. They delight in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen. But listen to this. Inflated, I'm reading this from the New American Standard Version. This is Colossians 2, verse 18. Inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. He thinks he's so great because he has inflicted something on himself to look humble when he's really not humble. It's a voluntary self-abasement. Now in Colossians 2, verse 23, dropping down this five verses, he writes this. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, which are of no value against fleshly indulgence. You know, a lot of people thought that if you just beat the body, you whip the body and you hit the body, that would keep you from keep you from thinking bad thoughts or evils. If I just beat the body and just hit it, then the flesh of the body won't lust for anything and it won't do anything bad. Wrong. That's not how you get it. Let me read that in the New English Translation, Colossians 2, verse 23. Even though they have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship and false humility achieved by an unsparing treatment of the body, a wisdom with no true value, they in reality result in fleshly indulgence. In reality, they still go into their indulgence. Well, we have a lot of quotes on humility. Here's a quote. Humility means two things. One is a capacity for self-criticism. Do you have a capacity for self-criticism? The second feature is allowing others to shine. Affirming others, empowering and enabling others. Those who lack humility are dogmatic and egotistical. That masks a deep sense of insecurity. They feel the success of others is at the expense of their own fame and glory. I don't like anybody else being successful. Now, you'll remember this famous quote. This is from Jimmy Hoffa. Ready? I may have my faults, but being wrong is not one of them. So, I may have my faults, but being wrong is not one of them. Okay. Humility is the capacity for self-criticism. Obviously, Jimmy Hoffa didn't have it. When in the book of Acts, you have this statement in Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, Paul talking about he was serving the Lord with all humility, which meant lowliness of mind. That's a Greek word that combines the tapenos with the mind. Humility of mind, lowliness of mind, and with tears, with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. He said, I serve with all humility of mind. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, read this. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I entreat you, I beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility, that's tapenos again, with all lowliness of mind, with all humility of mind, and gentleness with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. That's how you achieve a oneness. That's how you achieve unity in the church. It goes through this humility. I'm begging you to walk in a manner worthy with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance. Putting up, the Greek word means putting up with one another, forbearance with one another. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. We already read that, but with humility of mind. Colossians 3 verse 12, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, there's that Greek word, tapenos, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. That's what we're told. Now, in James 1, James talks about the brother of humble circumstances who comes into your place. You know, you can have a person who looks kind of lowly, and people tend to say, well, why don't you go sit way back there, or you don't get to, don't get here. And James says, don't do that. Don't do that. If a person comes into your place with a brother of humble circumstances, and he says, let the rich man not glory in his exalted position, but let the rich man glory in his humiliation. Now let me read that exactly. James 1, verse 9. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position. You see, in Christ Jesus, where have we all been taken? We have been seated up in the heavenlies, Ephesians tells us. We've been figuratively seated up, given a high position. And let the rich man, the person who has a high position, glory in his humiliation, because he's humbling himself. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will fade away. It doesn't matter. In this physical life, it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter, because it's going to fade away. So we're all, a person of humble circumstances, glory in that Jesus Christ has raised you up into the heavenlies. Humility, you know, among the Greeks, they knew this word. Now, the Greeks had wonderful feelings about a number of the qualities, character qualities. They loved the word self-control. The Greeks had extolled self-control as a very wonderful thing. They extolled a number of qualities of character. But one of these, the one that they did not extol, the one that the Greeks despised, was tapenos. Being lowly, tapenos. The Greek ethics, Aristotle thought of tapenos as fostered by pride, and he regarded people who were humble as contemptible, mean-spirited, without force or aspiration. And the people who have tapenos, they're just ne'er-do-wells. They don't want to do anything, just slouching around. They don't have anything. They don't want anything. And you don't want to be like a tapenos. In fact, is Aristotle talked about the great-souled man. He called him the great-souled man, the person that's really up there, the great-souled man. He was exalted. He walks with confidence. He has this appearance that he recognizes. So the conception of humility was just considered, that's bad. I mean, you don't want to do that. You want to show people how you walk, these qualities that bear the great-souled man. He walks with a certain way. That's the way he should be. Not like the lowly. Please, don't be like, don't humble yourself. That's bad, to humble yourself. In the world, people really, you know, you think about it. Do you ever see a politician say, well, you know, I'm really not good at a lot of things, I'd like to run for this office because I think I'm pretty honest, but, you know, I have my faults. I would need help from a lot of other people to help me in my administration because I don't know a lot about this and I don't know a lot about that, but I'm fairly good at working with people, and I would just really be love to have the chance to help, but I would need a big team. I have to have a lot of advice and good things, but I think when I get good advice, I have a certain amount of wisdom that I would recognize it and try to put it into practice. Lose. You will lose. Nobody wants you. Nobody likes that. We like a person coming, I could do it. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make the taxes this way. I'm going to give you. I'm going to give the people this. I'm going to help the people. We're going to do this. Everybody wants. They want a politician that's going to talk about all their accomplishments. I was over this. I was over that. I could do this. I can do that. Oh, yeah, you're really great. Because you don't want to show any lowliness at all. What did James say? What did James say? James chapter 4, verse 6. He gives greater grace to the humble, right? Greater grace. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud. Opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble, the tapenos. Now, when the phrase that says he is opposed to the proud, that phrase opposed means like you set up a team. You know, if you're playing volleyball, that team is opposed to this team. Okay, that's the phrase. It means God has set himself. Okay, you're going to go this way. We're opposed to you. We're on the opposite side. We're going to oppose you. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the tapenos, to the humble. So he says, draw near. You know, submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. And then he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. Yeah, Aristotle would say no. The great-souled man, he said, the great-souled man is like this. His movements are slow, deliberate. His voice is deep, and his diction is stately. That's the great-souled man. He doesn't look humble. He's out there, you know. He's almost a description of the publican and the Pharisee. You remember that parable that Jesus gave in Luke 18? What's the Pharisee say? Well, you know, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I'm not like this one and that one, and I'm sure not like that tax collector there. Okay? I give tithes of all I possess. I fast twice in a week. I do all these commandments. I am so great, you know. And Jesus said, he said, the other guy, he can't even look up. He can't even look up. He's looking down to the earth, and he's beating on his chest, and he says, God, be merciful to me. I'm the sinner. And the Greek word is the sinner, not just a sinner, not one of many. I'm the sinner. I've done everything wrong. I'm the sinner. And then Jesus said, that man went down to his house, made right. He's right. He's made right with God, justified, made right, rather than the other who bragged. For everyone, remember that phrase? Everyone who does what? Exalts himself will be humbled, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. Yes, humility. In the Christian world, in our world, in the true church, in the understanding of the true religion, of the true teachings of the New Testament, humility is a very important thing. And it is he that humbles himself in his mind in the outward way. And it leads to things that we'll talk about next time. Calvin said it this way. You know, the famous theologian Calvin said, John Calvin, I believe it is, humility, he said, comes first, second, third, and always. Humility comes first, second, third, and always. We'll talk more about this in our next sermon.